Chapter 147. Mrs. Gamp replied in the affirmative, and softly discharged herself of her familiar phrase, turn, and turn about, one off, one on. Apostrophe but she spoke so tremulously, that she felt called upon to add, which fiddle strings is weakness, to expurge my nerves this night. Apostrophe apostrophe, Jonas stopped to listen. Then said, hurriedly, we shall not quarrel about terms. Let them be the same as they were before. Keep him close, and keep him quiet. He must be restrained. He has got it in his head tonight that my wife's dead, and has been attacking me, as if I had killed her. It's common with mad people to take the worst fancies of those they like best. Isn't it? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp assented with a short groan. Keep him close, then, or in one of his fits he'll be doing me a mischief. And don't trust him at any time, for when he seems most rational, he's wildest in his talk. But that you know already. Let me see the other. Apostrophe, the t'other person, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Gamp. Aye. Go you to him, and send the other. Quick. I'm busy. Apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp took two or three backward steps towards the door, and stopped there. It is your wishes, Mr. Chuzzlewit, apostrophe, she said, in a sort of quavering croak, to see the t'other person. Is it? Apostrophe, but the ghastly change in Jonas told her that the other person was already seen. Before she could look round towards the door, she was put aside by old Martin's hand, and Chuffy and John Westlock entered with him. Let no one leave the house, apostrophe said Martin. This man is my brother's son. Ill met, ill trained, ill begotten. If he moves from the spot on which he stands, or speaks a word above his breath to any person here, open the window, and call for help. Apostrophe apostrophe, what right have you to give such directions in this house? Apostrophe apostrophe, asked Jonas faintly. The right of your wrongdoing. Come in there. Apostrophe, an irrepressible exclamation burst from the lips of Jonas, as Lucem entered at the door. It was not a groan, or a shriek, or a word, but was wholly unlike any sound that had ever fallen on the ears of those who heard it, while at the same time it was the most sharp and terrible expression of what was working in his guilty breast that nature could have invented. He had done murder for this. He had girdled himself about with perils, agonies of mind, innumerable fears, for this. He had hidden his secret in the wood, pressed and stamped it down into the bloody ground, and here it started up when least expected, miles upon miles away, known to many, proclaiming itself from the lips of an old man who had renewed his strength and vigor, as by a miracle, to give it voice against him. He leaned his hand on the back of a chair, and looked at them. It was in vain to try to do so scornfully, or with his usual insolence. He required the chair for his support. But he made a struggle for it. I know that fellow, apostrophe he said, fetching his breath at every word, and pointing his trembling finger towards Lucem. He's the greatest liar alive. What's his last tale? Ha, ha. You're rare fellows too. Why, that uncle of mine is childish. He's even a greater child than his brother, my father, was, in his old age, or than Chuffy is. What the devil do you mean, apostrophe he added, looking fiercely at John Westlock and Mark Tapley, the latter had entered with Lucem, by coming here, and bringing two idiots and a knave with you to take my house by storm. Hallo, there. Open the door. Turn these strangers out. Apostrophe apostrophe, I tell you what, apostrophe cried Mr. Tapley, coming forward, if it wasn't for your name, I'd drag you through the streets of my own accord, and single-handed I would. Ah, I would. Don't try and look bold at me. You can't do it. Now go on, sir, apostrophe this was to old Martin. Bring the murdering vagabond upon his knees. If he wants noise, he shall have enough of it. For as sure as he's a shiverin' from head to foot I'll raise a uproar at this winder that shall bring half London in. Go on, sir. Let him try me once, and see whether I'm a man of my word or not. apostrophe. With that, Mark folded his arms and took his seat upon the window ledge with an air of general preparation for anything, which seemed to imply that he was equally ready to jump out himself or to throw Jonas out upon receiving the slightest hint that it would be agreeable to the company. Old Martin turned to Lewsom. "This is the man, apostrophe," he said, extending his hand towards Jonas. "Is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you need do no more than look at him to be sure of that, or of the truth of what I have said." Apostrophe was the reply. "He is my witness. Apostrophe, oh, brother. Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried old Martin, clasping his hands and lifting up his eyes. "Oh, brother, brother. Were we strangers half our lives, that you might breed a wretch like this, and I make life a desert by withering every flower that grew about me? Is it the natural end of your precepts and mine, that this should be the creature of your rearing, training, teaching, hoarding, striving for, and I the means of bringing him to punishment, when nothing can repair the wasted past?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, he sat down upon a chair as he spoke, and turning away his face, was silent for a few moments. Then with recovered energy he proceeded. "But the accursed harvest of our mistaken lives shall be trodden down. It is not too late for that. You are confronted with this man, you monster there, not to be spared, but to be dealt with justly. Hear what he says. Reply, be silent. Contradict, repeat, defy, do what you please. My course will be the same. Go on. And you, apostrophe," he said to Chuffy, "for the love of your old friend, speak out, good fellow." Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have been silent for his love. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the old man. He urged me to it. He made me promise it upon his dying bed. I never would have spoken, but for your finding out so much. I have thought about it ever since, I couldn't help that, and sometimes I have had it all before me in a dream, but in the daytime, not in sleep. Is there such a kind of dream? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Chuffy, looking anxiously in old Martin's face. As Martin made him an encouraging reply, he listened attentively to his voice, and smiled. Ah, aye. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he cried. He often spoke to me like that. We were at school together, he and one. I couldn't turn against his son, you know his only son, Mr. Chuzzlewit. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I would to heaven you had been his son. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Martin. You speak so like my dear old master, apostrophe, cried the old man with a childish delight, that I almost think I hear him. I can hear you quite as well as I used to hear him. It makes me young again. He never spoke unkindly to me, and I always understood him. I could always see him too, though my sight was dim. Well, well. He's dead, he's dead. He was very good to me, my dear old master. Apostrophe, he shook his head mournfully over the brother's hand. At this moment Mark, who had been glancing out of the window, left the room. I couldn't turn against his only son, you know, apostrophe, said Chuffy. He has nearly driven me to do it sometimes. He very nearly did tonight. Ah! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the old man, with a sudden recollection of the cause. Where is she? She's not come home. Apostrophe, do you mean his wife? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Chuzzlewit. Yes. Apostrophe, I have removed her. She is in my care, and will be spared the present knowledge of what is passing here. She has known misery enough, without that addition. Apostrophe, Jonas heard this with a sinking heart. He knew that they were on his heels, and felt that they were resolute to run him to destruction. Inch by inch the ground beneath him was sliding from his feet. Faster and faster the encircling ruin contracted and contracted towards himself, its wicked center, until it should close in and crush him. And now he heard the voice of his accomplice stating to his face, with every circumstance of time and place and incident, and openly proclaiming, with no reserve, suppression, passion, or concealment, all the truth. The truth, which nothing would keep down, which blood would not smother, and earth would not hide. The truth, whose terrible inspiration seemed to change dotards into strong men, and on whose avenging wings, one whom he had supposed to be at the extremest corner of the earth, came swooping down upon him. He tried to deny it, but his tongue would not move. He conceived some desperate thought of rushing away, and tearing through the streets, but his limbs would as little answer to his will as his stark, stiff staring face. All this time the voice went slowly on, denouncing him. It was as if every drop of blood in the wood had found a voice to jeer him with. When it ceased, another voice took up the tale, but strangely, for the old clerk, who had watched and listened to the whole, and had wrung his hands from time to time, as if he knew its truth, and could confirm it, broke in with these words. No, no, no. You're wrong. You're wrong, all wrong together. Have patience, for the truth is only known to me. Apostrophe, apostrophe, how can that be? Apostrophe, said his old master's brother, after what you have heard. Besides, you said just now, above stairs, when I told you of the accusation against him, that you knew he was his father's murderer. Apostrophe, I, yes. And so he was. Apostrophe, cried Chuffy, wildly. But not as you suppose, not as you suppose. Stay. Give me a moment's time. I have it all here, all here. It was foul, foul, cruel, bad. But not as you suppose. Stay, stay. Apostrophe, he put his hands up to his head, as if it throbbed or pained him. After looking about him in a wandering and vacant manner for some moments, his eyes rested upon Jonas, when they kindled up with sudden recollection and intelligence. Yes. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried old Chuffy, yes. That's how it was. It's all upon me now. He got up from his bed before he died, to be sure, to say that he forgave him, and he came down with me into this room. And when he saw him, his only son, the son he loved, his speech forsook him. He had no speech for what he knew, and no one understood him except me. But I did, I did. Apostrophe, old Martin regarded him in amazement. So did his companions. Mrs. Camp, who had said nothing yet, but had kept two-thirds of herself behind the door, ready for escape, and one-third in the room, ready for siding with the strongest party, came a little further in and remarked, with a sob, that Mr. Chuffy was the sweetest old creature going. Apostrophe, he bought the stuff, apostrophe, said Chuffy, stretching out his arm towards Jonas, while an unwonted fire shone in his eye, and lightened up his face. He bought the stuff, no doubt, as you have heard, and brought it home. He mixed the stuff, look at him. With some sweetmeat in a jar, exactly as the medicine for his father's cough was mixed, and put it in a drawer, in that drawer yonder in the desk. He knows which drawer I mean. He kept it there locked up. But his courage failed him, or his heart was touched, my God. I hope it was his heart. He was his only son. And he did not put it in the usual place, where my old master would have taken it 20 times a day. Apostrophe, the trembling figure of the old man, shook with the strong emotions that possessed him. But, with the same light in his eye, and with his arm outstretched, and with his gray hair stirring on his head, he seemed to grow in size, and was like a man inspired. Jonas shrunk from looking at him, and cowered down into the chair by which he had held. It seemed as if this tremendous truth could make the dumb speak. I know it every word now. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Chuffy. Every word. He put it in that drawer, as I have said. He went so often there, and was so secret, that his father took notice of it, and when he was out, had it opened. We were there together, and we found the mixture Mr. Chuzzlewit had won. He took it into his possession, and made light of it at the time. But in the night he came to my bedside, weeping, and told me that his own son had it in his mind to poison him. Oh, Chuff, he said, oh, dear old Chuff. A voice came into my room tonight, and told me that this crime began with me. It began when I taught him to be too covetous of what I have to leave, and made the expectation of it his great business. Those were his words. Aye, they are his very words. If he was a hard man now and then, it was for his only son. He loved his only son, and he was always good to me. Jonas listened with increased attention. Hope was breaking in upon him. He shall not weary for my death, Chuff. That was what he said next, pursued the old clerk, as he wiped his eyes. That was what he said next, crying like a little child. He shall not weary for my death, Chuff. He shall have it now. He shall marry where he has a fancy, Chuff, although it don't please me. And you and I will go away, and live upon a little. I always loved him. Perhaps he'll love me then. It's a dreadful thing, to have my own child thirsting for my death. But I might have known it. I have sown, and I must reap. He shall believe that I am taking this. And when I see that he is sorry, and has all he wants, I'll tell him that I found it out, and I'll forgive him. He'll make a better man of his own son, and be a better man himself, perhaps, Chuff. Poor Chuffy paused to dry his eyes again. Old Martin's face was hidden in his hands. Jonas listened still more keenly, and his breast heaved like a swollen water, but with hope. With growing hope. My dear old master made believe next day, said Chuffy, that he had opened the drawer by mistake with a key from the bunch, which happened to fit it we had one made and hung upon it, and that he had been surprised to find his fresh supply of cough medicine in such a place, but supposed it had been put there in a hurry when the drawer stood open. We burned it, but his son believed that he was taking it, he knows he did. Once Mr. Chuzzlewit, to try him, took heart to say it had a strange taste, and he got up directly, and went out. Jonas gave a short, dry cough, and, changing his position for an easier one, folded his arms without looking at them, though they could now see his face. Mr. Chuzzlewit wrote to her father, the father of the poor thing who's his wife, said Chuffy, and got him to come up, intending to hasten on the marriage. But his mind, like mine, went a little wrong through grief, and then his heart broke. He sank and altered from the time when he came to me in the night, and never held up his head again. It was only a few days, but he had never changed so much in twice the years. Spare him, Chuff, he said, before he died. They were the only words he could speak. Spare him, Chuff. I promised him I would. I've tried to do it. He's his only son. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.